1973 would be a watershed year for Thailand, a year where popular voices triumphed over authoritarianism and the people for once won. Thai social and political nature was significantly transformed, unleashing a whole new period of activism and empowerment of the lower class. To understand how profound the 1973 popular uprising was, let's go back 15 years. In 1958, the authoritarian dictatorship of Field Marshal Seri Thanarat came into power after he overthrew the fascist dictatorship of Black Phibun Songkram in a coup d'etat. His rule was characterized by totalitarianism, lack of any full constitution, and the inability for any kind of student or labor movement to take shape. The government ruled only under the coup's Revolutionary Council's proclamation. This period in Thailand was often called the Era of Silence, as he ruled from 1958 to 1963. Universities in the country were heavily surveilled by the government, therefore no student activities took place. After Sirit died in 1963, another member of the military took his place, Thanom Kittikachorn. He ruled for 10 years, from 1963 to 1973. In 1968, there were growing demands by the people for an end to the dictatorship and for change to come, after 11 years of no economic or political change. At the same time, the NCST, or the National Student Center of Thailand, was formed to connect university students from across the country. This was when student activities started to slowly spring up. There was also increasing foreign pressure for Thailand to democratize, and therefore Thanom ceded to produce a new constitution in 1968, which he promised would bring about political change. However, that did not happen, as the constitution was not democratic and still aimed to put the military in power. Elections were held in 1969 under this constitution, and a proxy party formed by Thanom won decisively. However, the elections were neither free nor fair. Campaigning by opposition parties were suppressed and faced threats from authorities. Vote rigging and vote buying plagued the elections. Nevertheless, Thanom now had to rule as a prime minister with the presence of a parliamentary opposition and a freer press. At this time, student groups started to hold forums and form dialogue on social issues, some editing and publishing their own magazines, which included criticisms of the government and calls for true democracy. Leftist ideas started to flourish among the students as well as the lower class workers and farmers. Thanom was dissatisfied by the increasing democratic political nature of the country, and therefore he staged another coup d'etat against his own government in 1971, reinstating him as a full dictator once again. With the middle class highly unhappy with the social and economic situation which worsened under Thanom's rule, peasants in the rural areas also started to revolt, and many urban workers formed illegal unions to go on strike, many of them successful. Strikes happened frequently throughout these years. 2 years later came 1973, the year where everything came to a head. In April, the Tung Yai Nereswan scandal happened. A military helicopter crashed in Tung Yai Nereswan National Park, and the corpse of a shot wild buffalo was found among the wreckage. The government was immediately accused of abusing power to carry out such immoral acts of game hunting in a protected forest area. Members of the military who were on board were directly funded by the government. This news led to widespread public anger, especially among students. In June, 9 students from Ramkhamhaeng University published a magazine with harsh criticisms of the scandal and the authoritarian government. The state-controlled university expelled the students who were behind the magazine. This led to the peak of public discontent, resulting in massive protests at the Democracy Monument, with numbers swelling to 50,000 once the government decided to close the university. Protesters demanded the readmission of all 9 students. And as the general public joined the protests, the university agreed not to expel the students. However, the protesters' demands went further. They demanded for a new and democratic constitution to be drafted within 6 months, and truly free elections to be held. Many of these protests and rallies in 1973 were carried out by the highly organized NSCT, which started to gain massive support from the general public, who had now turned against the military government, including the middle class, labor workers, and peasants. The NSCT would then play an even bigger role in October. Massive protests happened between the 6th and the 14th of October, and I will slowly go through the events of each day. In fact, in the first week of October, a constitution demanding group made up of activists and former members of the NSCT made a statement at a monument near Set Nam Luang, or the royal field in front of the Grand Palace, declaring the three goals of the group. One is to demand the government draft a new constitution as quickly as possible and peacefully enact its usage. Two, to educate the populace on the political importance of a constitution in a democratic system. Three, to rally the people to defend and safeguard the public's human rights and civil liberties. On the 6th of October, 20 members of the Constitution Demanding Group gathered around this same monument in front of the Grand Palace. They distributed leaflets to civilians to raise awareness and rally calls for a new constitution. 11 members of the group were arrested by the police on that day on charges of inciting protests, which would result in the assembly of more than 5 people, which was at the time against the law. The members were denied bail and any prison visits. The NSCT attempted to negotiate with the police to release all of the members, but the attempts failed. October 8th, student protests started again after a hiatus of 4 months within the Thammasat University campus to demand the release of political activists, but these calls were also not met. 9th October, students from various universities assembled to continue protesting, while Thanh Nom enacted Article 17 of his constitution, allowing him to take full control of the arrestees until an investigation was conducted. A government radio broadcast branded the arrested student activists as communists who were vying to overthrow the regime and bring extreme instability and insecurity to the nation. The NSCT responded to these claims by calling them false accusations of pure and innocent civilians and called on the government to repeal Article 17. The 10th, protests in Thammasat University swelled to 20,000 people. Protests continued into the next day, while the NSCT demanded that the government release the arrested activists without any conditions, as the government's actions were a direct infringement on personal liberty and rights. On this day, the NSCT and the government went into a direct meeting to negotiate. However, the government stood firm in their decision to continue the usage of Article 17 and deny the release of the activists. On the 12th, the NSCT gave the government their last stand, 24 hours, for them to release the activists. They vowed to fight at any cost for the people's liberty and democratic rights. At this time, up to 200,000 people were protesting in and around Thammasat University. Labor activists, workers, and the middle class joined the protests. That evening, police allowed the bail of the student activists, but the protesters rejected this offer, as they still demanded their unconditional release. On the 13th, protest leaders took the protests onto the street outside of the campus, marching the crowd to the Democracy Monument and then to Jitlada Palace. There was around 400,000 people. Finally, the government agreed to release the prisoners and agreed to the drafting of a new constitution by 1974. With their demands met, protesters agreed to disperse from the area, but they were, however, met with police force. After midnight on October 14th, clashes occurred between protesters and police, even though they were in the midst of leaving from the area, with reports of police hitting the students. When day broke, hundreds of thousands of people again gathered at the Democracy Monument to protest the police's violence and defend the beaten students. However, this time the government refused to make any sort of concession, and they brought in troops to violently crack down on the protesters, resulting in injuries and deaths. Shooting occurred, and the bodies of the dead were hailed around the city by protesters, attracting even more infuriated members of the public. Eventually, military helicopters flew in and started to shoot at the protesters from above, as well as tanks and infantrymen. Violence continued into the night, resulting in a total of 77 deaths and 857 injuries. On October 15th, it was announced that Thanom and his family, as well as the Deputy Prime Minister, Prabhat Jarusatheon, had gone into exile abroad. This abated the violence as quickly as it had begun. After all these events, the king appointed a new prime minister who would oversee the drafting of a new constitution, which would be promulgated in 1974, and democratic elections were held. I could end this podcast here, with the victory of the people and democracy having been established. But those who know Thai political history know it is always characterized by democratic advancement forward, followed by authoritarian backsliding backwards. So, I would like to continue talking a bit about the aftermath of the 1973 uprising, which doesn't really paint a beautiful picture. The 1974 election resulted in a victory for left-wing parties like the Socialist Party of Thailand. However, they didn't become part of the coalition government which was formed thereafter. Nevertheless, by this point, labor workers, farmers, and the little people of society were, as said, empowered, as they for once felt like their voices could be heard. Student activity also continued as a triple alliance between the students, farmers, and workers was formed. Many students left Bangkok for the countryside to learn of the country's rural issues. Some would go on to join the rising insurgency in the northeast of the country, led by the Communist Party of Thailand, or CPT. However, it was only a matter of time until the country's establishment realized that the elected democratic government hasn't been able to solve the country's deep-rooted issues, as disruptive revolts and strikes still continued. In 1975, the fall of Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia to the communists and the growing power of the CPT in the northeast put the establishment further into panic mode. Ultimately, this led them to come up with a new plan to justify another coup which would restore stability in the establishment's sense of the word. Right-wing forces gained public support when state propaganda against communists and the students were disseminated. They were branded as a threat to national security and the monarchy. The middle class were also alienated from the once popular student movement, as they were seen to have been developing ties with the communists in the countryside. This all exacerbated the state's license to kill. The establishment's attempt to stop the socialist movement in Thailand culminated successfully on the 6th of October 1976, less than 3 years after the uprising. On that day, students gathered at Thammasat University to peacefully protest Thanom's return to the country. But the state and the military, with backing from right-wing members of the public, carried out a ruthless massacre of the students inside the university gate. Students were beaten up, lynched, sexually assaulted, and even burnt alive by both soldiers and right-wing mobs. There were at least 100 deaths and hundreds more injured. Horridly, this event marked the end of Thailand's short-lived taste of democracy once the military declared martial law that evening and took over the government in the country's 8th successful coup d'etat. An ultra-right-wing government came into power, which did everything in its ability to erase memories of the 1973 uprising and the power of laborers and peasants. They banned the CPT. They banned student activism, peasant organizations, trade unions. They raided left-wing media and newspaper companies. The government went as far as searching university libraries for a list of banned books and burning them in public. Through the next decade, all traces of any leftist movement would be completely wiped out of the Thai political landscape. No such movement which would empower the lower class with left-wing ideals and build class consciousness would be present in Thailand ever since. A democratically elected government also would not come into power until 1988. In light of the current student movement in Thailand, and as a Thai person who wants to see a brighter democratic future for this country, I leave you with this short speech. Democracy and hope was for so long lost in Thailand. In fact, it wasn't only lost, but many times it was stolen. Stolen by a power-hungry few who refused to listen to the people's voice. Is it now not the time for us to restore hope to the people with our own hands, if no one else will? Is it now not the time to carry out the duty to fight for an equal democratic society we all want to see? Yes, now is the time. Now is the time to take back from them the liberty, resource, and future which was rightfully ours all along. Now is the time to fight for those who have fallen before us, calling for the same just society. It is time for justice to be served to everyone. Continue this fight and do not lose hope. Thank you for listening today.